Bart and Logan are friends who met on the internet. Yeah, Logan and Tim are also friends who met on the internet. And Tim and Bart are buddies too. Now it's the three of them and you. Lots of danger at every corner, fighting androids and lots of monsters. Much more than a podcast. Well, I guess it's only a podcast. And now it's time for a podcast.
Ooh. Welcome to episode 32 of BLT Lunch Breaker. It's not even an episode, just BLT 32. I think that's how it's labeled. I got that groggy voice again, Tyler Dean. I think we all had some sleep issues, I think, the last 24 hours. I'm okay with, like, blowing up his spot. I don't care. He told me he was hitting the gym, like we all do. Bart and I were doing the same. And came back, and he passed out, and he just woke up, and he's very sorry. And he apologized, and he wanted to reschedule it, but Bart was on his lunch break already, so I said, let's just do it. And Tyler will be back next week. Don't worry. This is not a situation like the last time we said they'll be back next week. Bart, how are you?
I am well. I'm doing well. I'm, yeah.
Well rested?
I guess. Yeah. I got a good 6.5 hours last night. I was just looking on my Fitbit. I was only restless for 20 minutes, so that's good.
Oh, that is.
But so, yeah, I'm fine.
I'm waiting to get there. See, you're like, sir, you've surpassed me because you have a child that's similar age to my son, but you don't have the little ones. And for some reason, my daughter's just started preschool yesterday, and they totally had their schedule completely rocked. And my daughter woke up at 12:30, which I thought was 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, I was like fully convinced because I'm going to sleep earlier now. I'm Benadryling myself, per doctor's orders, by the way, which is a little weird. wish that was a joke, not joke. But she got up at 12:30 and I was like, all right, this usually lasts 30 minutes or so. About 2 o'clock, she goes back down. I'm like, all right, awesome. 2:30, she's back up and stays up till about 5. And that was my day. I watched a lot of Daniel Tiger from the hours of 3 to 5 a.m. this morning. And it was a – so right now, everything is kind of – I'm kind of having an out-of-body experience day. And it's not fun. I feel like I know I dropped my son off at school. I kind of recall doing that because we were late. And, of course, we were late today because – not because of that, it's because my son got himself dressed, which I was very proud of him. Then I realized he had put on two right shoes. So I had to go home, swap out the shoes. That's my day so far. He had to get a tardy notice, which at pre-K, I'm like, really? Like, no, we're paying to be here. No one's, There's no law that says he has to go to pre-K, but whatever, you know. I took my tardy notice.
You should be like, look. It's we set the schedule. We're writing the check.
Right.
He's right on time.
Right. It's totally fine. But, you know, they have to make a big deal about it. So they're like, is it because of the wreck that happened on this road? I was like, no, it was a shoe problem.
And, it was a shoe problem.
I did. I wrote that down. I was like, shoe issue. And I was like, fine. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, school? You're going to get mad at me over my pre-K? But I don't mean to start this in a grumpy mood. But, hey, it's a interesting time. And, hey, I think we should say, because I'm sure a lot of you guys are listening to this after this weekend or during the week. Obviously we have a ton of listeners in Florida. The majority of people are in Florida. Stay safe, guys. Don't take this lightly. We just saw obviously what happened in Texas. And for any of us who can remember, either living through or, you know, dealing with Andrew 20 years ago, just, you know, maybe hopefully by the time you're hearing this, it diverted, went a completely different path and you're all good to go. But, we just want to tell everyone to stay safe. I know we got a lot of young listeners in Florida, so be careful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit of an alarmist. I'm the guy who made my family, evacuate when our neighbor's shed was on fire. But I'm just saying to all my friends in Florida, just leave.
Yeah,
come here. I'll make room for you.
That's what I've said too.
All our rooms are taken, but I'll get some air mattresses. It's fine. Just come, get as far away as you can.
That's how I feel as well. Here. I've been trying to message out to you. Yeah, I live in the most landlocked, one of the most landlocked states in the country. So, come up to Tennessee. And enjoy our beautiful sights. And a few of my friends are heading to Atlanta and are heading out of Florida. So especially those with kids. But yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, living in Orlando, I went through a lot of hurricanes myself. I mean, obviously it, but it never really hit that hard Orlando. There was always stuff, but you know, never too bad. I mean, there were some real near misses, and Will, who's been on this show before, he had some real issues, you know, life-threatening type stuff. But usually that was in a result of the hurricane, not because of the hurricanes. Like the hurricane would come, stuff would get damaged, and trees would fall and those kind of things. You just got to be careful. You just got to be safe, especially for those. I know a lot of people are traveling down there now from the UK. A lot of people are traveling down for Halloween Horror Nights, and we're supposed to be going next week. And I, as of now, it seems like it should be long gone by then, but still is a it's a real reminder to just keep safe. Like you said, I'm kind of the same way as you are. I've been messaging pretty much any of my friends that have kids, and even the ones that don't, just been like, look, I know you can probably get to somewhere closer and quicker, but if you need to get here, just get here, yeah. You know, and feel free to come hang out. We'll have a good time. We'll have a party. It'll be good.
Let's specify this offers to friends in Florida. If you're in Ohio, you're fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also not offering this to like. I mean, there's thousands of people that listen to this. Not that I'm not offering it to you, but if I don't know you, it may get a little weird. But I have been doing that, and I think I know people listen to the show like to laugh though and to not think about those things. So we'll end that here and just say okay, let's move forward. But you know, stay safe. That's all I got to say. Is just stay safe. But Bart, how you been doing this week?
Good. Now, I wanted to ask you, when your daughter wakes you up at like 2:30 in the morning, can you be, and I'm asking this for a reason, can you be productive in that time, or do you just sit and just zombify?
It depends.
That's a word.
It depends. Last night was very difficult too, because I know for the Star-Lord contest, which by the way runs till next episode, till next Thursday, and then the next episode following that, we'll give it out. Some people posted like their entries late at night, and I like was starting to look through them, and I was like, I can't judge this correctly. I will not be a fair judge. I will be a mean judge. So I stopped. I put on a podcast and enjoyed it. Sometimes I can. Sometimes I can get some work done, but it depends on the time. Like if they get up early, like let's say they get up usually at 7 and they get up at 5. Okay, I can deal. Like that's fine. Like I can I can get stuff done. I can have breakfast. I can, you know, and they're pretty, they're at the age now where they talk a lot and they're self-sufficient, not self-sufficient, but they're, you know, I can sit them down and they'll watch a TV show. It's not like I have to be you know, helicopter parenting them, but it is a situation where if it's in the middle of the night like that now, especially cause I'm Benadryling myself, you know, like you would a dog. I don't really get a whole lot done. Yeah, it's not.
Because there is like there's a term or a philosophy for it or something of people that have been fairly successful in this world that will go to bed, you know, at like 9 o'clock, sleep for like 4 hours, 5 hours, and then wake up and work for 3 or 4 hours and then go back to sleep for a few hours. I don't know, but there's something appealing about this. See, first of all, I don't like sleep. I need sleep, but I hate sleep. I hate sleeping. I hate going to bed because I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like there's not enough time in the world.
Yeah.
And even if the alternative is sitting up watching TV, I'm always thinking, at least I'm thinking and in my mind I'm being productive. I hate sleeping because I have no control over it. So my wife yells at me all the time because like I get up at the crack of dawn even when I don't have to, and I stay up late because I just hate sleeping. I think sleeping is a waste of time, but unfortunately it's necessary. So the idea of being able to sleep a few hours, get up, write, do – like I wish if I didn't have a day job, that would be my writing schedule. I'd go to bed when the kids go to bed and then wake up in the middle of the night and work for a few hours.
Yeah, I do that sometimes, but now for the most part I go to I'm usually going to sleep very late. And that's – I'm trying to adjust that now that I have to get up really early, take my son to school. So I usually would go to sleep, you know, well after midnight, 1 o'clock, and that's usually my schedule. But that's had to alter that. So there has been those times now where I've gotten up, and you're right, and you do feel very refreshed as I've fallen asleep, let's say at 10, and dog wakes me up, something happens around 1, and all of a sudden I feel like I've had a full night's sleep, and I'm ready to go. And it's really hard for me to get back to sleep. I'm kind of an insomniac in that point of view, but my neighbor, not to rat him out, he does that. So he always tells me, like, if I'm up, give him a call, because he sleeps from, like you said, I think like 9 to 1 or so, and then he's up, and he's up honestly, and I don't want to get into the reasons he's up, but he has issues dealing with the fact that he was in the war and dealt with all that. But he's up and he watches like documentaries all night long. And so I'll see, and he lives right behind me, so I'll see his lights on, you know, for the majority of the evening hours, which that's, I mean, that's something I wouldn't want to have to deal with. But he does seem to get a lot done, and I get some fun text messages in the middle of the night. But I don't know, man. I don't know if I could do that. I don't think I could get myself up. I enjoy sleeping too much, and I enjoy sleeping when the rare times where like I get a full, you know, night sleep. Now I have to say, when the kids get a little older, I'm hoping that changes for me personally. But as of now, man, I'm the opposite in there. We found our one difference is I like to sleep. I don't go to sleep very well, but I could stay, if I'm out, I could stay out for a long time. But I do, I'm definitely up working as late as possible, driving my wife crazy. And she just got this new like
right.
decal maker thing for like crafts and such, and like to label things for the kids. Like it's like a, like does like die cut. It's pretty awesome. I'm like thinking up creative ideas at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's like, what can I make some wall decals for my son? I'm going to put up a Bullet Club symbol up and then above his bed before he wakes up. It's going to be great. So that's a problem when she's an artist and a craft person kind of in that way. I mean, she's an artist. That's what she does professionally. But I look at that and I'm always like, those are the kind of things, not the good stuff, not like, hey, I need to focus in on this new TV show or this movie that I'm working on, or, you know, this podcast and selling more ads. I start focusing on like things that are not worth my time during the day, or I play video games. Have you, you don't play video games, right? Have you kind of, it's not your thing.
I don't know. You know, there's times where I'm like, oh, that looks like fun. I don't wish I did, but there's times where I say, oh, that looks like fun, but I'm like, eh, I'll never. Even like when those, with all those Arkham games that have come out, the Batman video games, they all look amazing, but they look, first of all, they look extremely complicated to me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if there's no left, right, up, down, press the button, that's about the extent of my, like I play, my son once in a while will bug me until I play NHL, I guess 17 with him now. Yeah. On PlayStation, and I can't figure out the controls. And he's like, do this, do that, push this and that and the other thing. And I'm like, and he kills me every time because I don't know what I'm doing. I can't. Plus, I also think he's lying to me just to make me lose on purpose, but because he's evil that way. But I can't figure out the controls. Like yeah. We would play when he just had a Wii, we used to play. I think we've talked about it before. We used to play Disney Universe all the time. And actually, my daughter just dug that out of a drawer the other day. So they want me to hook the Wii up again and play Disney Universe. And I might be up for that. Because I like that game because it's simple, it's dumb, it takes no thought. You're just fighting guys and you're dressed like Disney characters. It's like, I can deal with that.
Yeah, my son still does. It definitely rocks the Disney Infinity on the Xbox. And we play wrestling, but what he doesn't know is that his controller may not be on. And I'm usually his character. But I think there is an interesting like generation gap here. Like when... How old were you when you got your first like video game system or were exposed to it beyond the arcade, well, like at home?
Let's. What are we talking about? Because I had an Atari 2600 in 1984, right. 3,
okay.
Whatever it was.
Now, how old were you?
So, and I played that. I would have been probably 8. In 83, I was 8.
Yeah.
So it might have even been 82, come to think of it. Like we had Pitfall.
Yeah.
And I forget what other games. But I played Pitfall all the time.
Yeah.
NES was kind of
care.
Yeah. I got one of those in junior high. I was 13 when I got an NES. I was late. Everybody else already had one. I finally got one. And I would come home and I would sit and play Super Mario Brothers for hours until my mom got home and yelled at me to get off it. Because I would, the minute I got home, if I didn't go to my friend's house, I was at my house playing Super Nintendo. And I'd even stay up at night or I'd be on the phone. I'd be playing Super Mario Brothers. So, and I'd play Duck Hunt once in a while, and I got Mike Tyson's punch out, and somebody gave me the code to go right to Mike Tyson, and I know, you know, that would last 3 seconds, but
yeah, I've never,
I don't know, somewhere along the line, I fell out of them.
Yeah, I think maybe that's a little bit of different, like, our 10-year age gap is where I was born into it. Like, I don't remember I don't remember before us not really having an NES. I remember us kind of getting it, but I think I was, like, 1 year old. Like, I think it came out in, like, 84, and I think we got ours, like, in 86. So I think I was a pretty young, I don't really have a recollection before it. So because I was born into it, like it's almost never not been there. And I feel like that's sort of what's happening now with, cause there's kind of like two sets of millennials. Like it's like my age and then like people born before 1980 or born after 1988 or 1990 who don't remember life before the internet. Of course, I definitely do. Like, I remember when we got our first computer and I remember our first AOL and all that. And I was like 10 years old. Like, it wasn't like I wasn't two. So I think there is that interesting like part of it of maybe it's the adults that are still into gamers are almost people who it's always been there. It's always been a thing. It's existed because like my dad, I mean, my dad like loving NES, loving like ColecoVision and all of that. But then he pretty much once we became tweens or teens and SNES, and then eventually when it got to the harder controllers, the PS1 or Xbox or Dreamcast, he kind of stopped playing. And now it's and we kind of brought him back in. But it is interesting to see that kind of a lot of people I feel like stopped like you. But there's people like me who grew up on it. So it's so ingrained in me that I can't not play occasionally. Now, I don't buy – like I played the whole Batman Arkham, the second Arkham game, and I loved it. But I can't dedicate that amount of time anymore. So I play sports games mostly. I play, you know, your football and basketball and wrestling and things that I can finish within – you know, 15 minutes. I can't really do the open world environment stuff. And I've learned that right. As a kid. My son, like, he became like a video game addict really quick with the Disney Infinity to the point where we realized, like, oh, he has to, and he's aged out of this a little. But if it didn't have a definitive ending, it was very difficult for him to stop. So if he was doing, like, if it was wrestling and, like, all right, 1, 2, 3, done, he would be like, okay, cool, put the controller down, let's get ready for bed. But with Infinity or any of those open world games, Skylanders or Lego Dimensions, which I can't stand, he would keep playing and like just never stop and have a freak out when it was time to be done because it's like you never complete anything. It just keeps going and going and going. And that was an interesting like parenting point I had to learn. Like, oh, yeah, I could see how this could really affect a kid. You know, for us, it was, you know, when we were kids, it was, you know, Mario's dead. All right, moving on. You know, I'm not starting over, but it's a it's interesting. I do see though the trend in the video game, you know, thing happening where like the when you have the retro games coming back. Like my son wanted that we have the NES Classic. I mean, I think your memories are far better than what it was, and I think a lot of people are buying them, playing them for a week, and like, okay, I think I'm done now. Like my apps are better. Did you see? A promotion for the new, and this made me think of it, the new VH1 show, 90s House, or MTV show, 90s House.
No.
It is, they're taking a group of like 20-somethings, throwing them in a house that is all 90s out when it comes to decor, everything, but also, you know, phone, internet, everything has been changed. So it's back to how it was in the 90s. I have to say, I have not been that interested in a MTV reality style series in a long time. But when I saw your real world VHS tapes, it made me go, that one is something I'm interested in seeing.
So, and that's the question. I guess I'm trying to think, because when did the internet really start becoming super excited? Like probably 94 or 5, 95. Because yeah. I was later than that because
yeah, I started like college in the fall. And, 96, 97 is kind of, I feel like when we got, like, I feel like we got our first computer in like 95, but really, like, I wasn't on there. We weren't doing a whole lot, I feel like, until that, like, 96, 97.
Yeah. The first time I saw anything on the internet was, let's see, 93, 94, 94, 95. I think it was late 95. I went back to Judson, the college I went to for 2 years, which we did not have the internet when I was there. Yeah. Didn't even know what it was. And somebody showed me like, and they had like a really bad dial up in their dorm room and they were showing me. So it took forever to get a website to load. And it was like nothing. It was like the most simplistic site you've ever seen. But I don't think I ever got I don't think I got an email address till probably 96 or 97.
Yeah.
Late 96 or 97.
Do you remember your first email address?
I still have it to this day.
Oh, so you have to give it out.
I still use it. It's a junk. I don't care. It's a junk account. Well, and it's Buffett related. It's Havana_Dreamer@yahoo.com.
Ah, that's pretty good.
I couldn't get Daydreamer, but it just like, hey, I did it in the library of the College of DuPage, the local community college.
I would spend a lot of time making AOL names and like trying to protect my AOL account names. So I had Jedi Logan, which was pretty good. Which eventually like some weird people started like figuring out who I was. It got a little personal, had to shut that one down. Then I moved on to, I was Lunar Punk for a long time. That's still, I think, on Xbox if you want to find me. I was, before I knew how to spell anything in Star Wars, I was Han Solo, but with an O. So it's Han Solo, not Han.
H-O-N.
H-O-N. Han Solo.
Hone.
Yeah, so those are my original ones. But I still use my primarily, I still have Lunar Punk. I don't even know how to log into it, but I still definitely have it. And then I have one, I still have an AOL account that I still use for my junk mail. And I've got no problem with that. Got no problem. A lot of people still surprisingly use the AOL. I've learned, especially weirdly, like industry people, like television industry and movie industry people. Like, I always get some email addresses from people that are like, well, we've had it for so long, we're not changing it now. And they're always still rocking the AOL. And it makes me feel happy. It doesn't bother me whatsoever because I still have mine, every now and then pop up. I do have to say, one of them is my Disney Experience account. It's still linked to my AOL account. So it's been that. It was my Disney account before it was my Disney Experience account. So I still, whenever I have to call in, they're like, what's your email address? I'm like,
that makes sense.
I'm going to get a look.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get like the person on the other end, the 20-year-old working the call center being like, really? This old man, this grandpa? Half of them probably don't even know what AOL was. But it's a good. I'm actually on my Disney Experience account right now because one of my favorite things, I'm trying to get a Fast Pass for Flight of Passage, which I doubt I'll get. Nor do I know if I'm of stature to ride it. But I don't want to wait 3 hours to find out. Looking at it, though, one of my favorite things is that me and Terry, who's on WDW Today, and Will and a bunch of us were all linked. So he's there now, and I get all of his his PhotoPass photos straight to my phone.
Right.
And it is like the best thing ever because he started to do it. Because for a while, I would just troll him with them because it's character photos. And sometimes there's always a few awkward ones in there. There's always ones where it's like, all right, now everyone, let's all hug. And it's like, really? Are we doing this? There's always those moments. So I usually try to use those as blackmail. But now he's starting to like troll me with them. Like he's on rides with this like tongue out looking ridiculous or doing weird faces. And it's fun, though. I think that's something that if you have a friend and family, especially if you have a friend who goes to a theme park a lot, goes to the Disney parks a lot, you should link their My Disney Experience with yours. Now, you can't screw with them and like cancel their fast passes. I would encourage you not to do that. But
don't do that.
Yeah, don't be a jerk. But not that.
But it can be a little heartbreaking from my point of view because I'm connected to a couple people. And like the other day I pulled it up and it said, you have your fast passes for tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, I do? I'm like, oh, no, I don't. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
But it is weird. Like the first time I saw somebody else's fast pass pictures, I'm like, is that me? But I mean, it also just I remember the first time when mine automatically showed up on it, and it blew my mind. I forgot. Well, they scanned your band, dummy. So, because right. I hadn't even asked for them. So,
yeah, I mean, I have with annual pass, you get all of them for free. So they just pile up.
And you get like videos on certain like Mine Train. Like we got the free video. Well, it's not free unless you buy it, but you can see it for free. When you ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, they have that pre-made video, and then it just splices you into it, and I think the Tower of Terror has one.
Yeah, the Tower of Terror now does a drop video, which is awesome because back like a decade ago, we did a special for Night of Joy there, and my crew, they wanted to get that shot of like the doors open because Will and I got to ride Tower by ourselves, which was terrifying and fun. They wanted that shot of the doors opening and you get to see us and then it drops. They legit were like hooked in with like belts up on the scaffolding to get that shot because they didn't have that system set up. Oh, yeah. Like Disney had rules then. I don't know if they still do that. Like for video camera crew to be shooting on, especially if they have to stand or anything on a ride. This was pre GoPro, any of that. They had to be harnessed in some way, but they could be very like I remember we did Splash Mountain and our camera guy was like legit had a belt that he had just attached to the guard or like to your railing or whatever it is, your lap bar. And he had just like wrapped it around there once. And it was and same with the Big Thunder. Oh, man, it was a lot of fun. But now times have changed because they can just make a camera that's so tiny. But, 10 years ago, it shows you how much it'll change since 2008, since we did those shows. Talking like old timers now. If Tyler was here, he'd be like, 2008, I was 7 years old. Oh, man. But it's been an interesting time of year, and we're getting the I don't know what I honestly I will be completely honest with you guys. I just went down a rabbit trail that I expected to have a full sentence coming out, and it just didn't happen. That's usually what happens when you don't sleep.
I thought you were going to say the leaves are turning colors and the temperature
leaves are turning colors. Things are getting beautiful here in the great state. It's cold for the first day. Like it was in the 50s this morning, and I don't.
I'm wearing a sweatshirt today.
Yeah, I don't let summer go quickly. Like, I am one of those guys that's like, I will ride or die shorts and flip-flops until the very last moment. And then I'll be those couple days where it's like I'm in between, and then finally it kicks in where I'm like, all right, put it up. And
I had to take my son to hockey last night, and I walked out of the house in shorts and flip-flops. I'm like, I'm going to go put jeans on, but I still kept the flip-flops on. I rode or died with the flip-flops, but I had to put jeans on. It was freezing.
Yeah, it's getting that point here now. My son is like freezing. He leaves the house like, it's so cold, because we're leaving like at 6:30 in the morning or 7 o'clock right. in the morning. It's tough. I do like seeing right now that Tyler is just getting trolled on Twitter for not showing up on the show, because he posted a thing about it. So, Tyler, yeah. It's your fault. You
don't ever admit it. Don't ever admit it, Tyler. Rookie mistake. Yeah,
we could have covered for you until at least, you know.
We didn't, but we could have.
We ratted you out completely.
Right away.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to – what am I going to do?
We could have faked
the guy. Hey, I mean, that's a good excuse. That's a good excuse to be like, I was getting ripped, and then I got so tired from working out that I had to get a few hours of sleep. I knew, though, because he always texts me, I'm on the way, buddy. And I knew when I didn't get that, there was a good chance that it would just be us. And a lot of people are asking, will he be singing? Because on the BLT group, it started to kind of grow a movement for him to be singing Wild Wild West by Will Smith. And unfortunately, I think that's maybe why he didn't show up. He just didn't. I had it queued up, too, ready to go.
Didn't want to do it.
he didn't want to sing Wild Wild West.
Wiki wiki wow wow.
Probably the best part of that movie is that song.
Yeah, and that's saying something.
Oh, man, I saw that movie in the theaters, and I remember at the time, not hating it. And I've watched it more recently and be like, oh, okay. I don't remember liking it. But I don't remember hating it. And I think
I remember more hating it than liking it.
Yeah.
Although I just love the story, the Kevin Smith story about what he wrote when he was hired by Warner Brothers to write a draft of a new Superman movie. And he was told by the producer, John Peters, there had to be a giant spider in the third act. Like, he wanted a scene. He said, I want a scene like King Kong where doors open and a giant spider comes out. And of course the movie never came to be, but then John Peters produced Wild Wild West. And in the third act, there's a giant mechanical spider.
Yeah.
So he's been sitting on that idea for years, wanting to get it in a movie. And he finally got
that
it.
That happens. And the movie that happens. Tanked. Yep. And that was not great. When I did look, though, at – have you seen they were had it at Comic-Con, but really it's starting to get some buzz. Have you seen the prop auction that's going on right now?
No. You sent it to me. I haven't had a chance to look at it.
You need to look through it. It's like a 200-page
catalog.
It's going to
make me sad. I can't afford anything.
I know. Like, there's a couple things that I told my wife. I'm like, God, I just – because I'm a prop collector. Like, it's one of the things I love to collect. And usually I like movies that a lot of people don't like, so you can get stuff for cheap. Or you get stuff – that's just not as relevant anymore. Like, that's what's interesting. They have like a Star-Lord mask, and we, of course, are giving away a replica of that. But they're saying that's going to go for like 30 to 50, 70 grand. And my question in that is like, one, who is buying that? Number two, that's too recent of a movie for me to invest like thousands of dollars into.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like it should be one that he wore, if anything, for that kind of money.
Oh, it is. No, it's one from the movie. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, it is.
We're giving away a replica. Okay. It's a hero worn. I mean, who knows if it was Chris Pratt or whoever. It's from the movie, like my Rocketeer pack. Like, and the thing is, I bought the Rocketeer pack way later, and it was a lot cheaper because not as many people care about the Rocketeer in 2017. But so many people care about Guardians right now that it's going to go for a crazy amount of money. And I don't know. Like, the two things I really want that are already probably well past my – I haven't checked what the current bid is on them. They have the jumps. I have a Bill Murray Ghostbusters jumpsuit, but it wasn't from a movie. It was from he did the Scream Awards, and he wore it on there. And I have that one because no one else wanted that, and that went for crazy cheap. But they have a jumpsuit from Ghostbusters 1 and one from Ghostbusters 2. So I was like, I would like to have like a trilogy of Ghostbusters jumpsuits to hang on my walls. But they're going for – I mean, they're not going for as bad as you'd expect. They're not going for near the Star-Lord mask. I think they said they're going to go for like $4,000 to $7,000, which is a lot. But it's still like a classic. They sold a few months ago the Casablanca doors from Rick's Cabaret.
Now I'm listening. How much did those go for?
They did not reach the minimum bid.
Oh, really?
Because my wife really wanted those. And we looked at it, we're like, because that's her favorite movie. And we're like, all right, we'll watch it. And I think it went for the opening bid, I think had to be like $85,000 to open it. And it didn't get an opening bid. Some of these will be back around at auction. But that's where the question of like, where does the price? They have like this one, they have Marty McFly's shoes from Back to the Future 2, which somehow seem to keep coming up. I'm always a little. That's where I'm a little curious, you know, how many of these were made.
How legit these are, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Prop Store is very legit. And, like, what I like about the Ghostbusters ones, they come with Warner Brothers' certificate of authenticity from their lot. Like, they are official. They do have, which is going to blow my spot because I was looking at it. I said that a lot this show. They do have one Disney thing. Well, they have a lot of Disney things, but they have one Disney Parks thing, and they have a little Revolutionary War soldier from Muppet Vision 3D.
I saw that. That's awesome.
And the story
is so inside baseball, though.
I know. And they're like thinking it's going to go for a couple thousand bucks, but I'm like sort of holding on to hopes that no one here listens and bids that, you know, I can get it for cheap. But the story goes, it's like the guy who produced it was given it as a gift by Jim Henson. And so now, I don't know if, I mean, he's still alive, but he was born in the 30s, so he's not a young man at this point. But, you know, that is that sort of weird thing of, like, figuring out what's going to be important to your family when you start collecting these things. Or even that, like, that one to me is like, I could never sell that. Like, I could never, like, especially for, like, a couple thousand dollars. If you're like, okay, this thing's now worth $1 million, fine, done. Like, take it. Like, I get that. That's life-changing money. But, like, let's say this is, like, their kid selling it. It's like, this is your dad's gift from Jim Henson, and you're just like, eh, $3,000. Let's split it up. Yeah. I can't imagine it.
You know, when I was at the Comic-Con 2 weeks ago, and I showed this in my vlog, there was a guy selling autographs, which, yeah. You know, like, I know that he had two Taylor Swift autograph pictures, and I noticed that the autograph looked different in each one. Like, it didn't look which, now, in fairness, I don't always sign my name exactly the same.
Same here.
It's similar. You know, it's just you're in a hurry or whatever, you know. But I think it was like a program or something. It said like a day at Disneyland, like a little booklet. And it was, I'm making air quotes now, autographed by Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like blue crayon. And I didn't see a certificate of authenticity. He had the little thing saying all of them were certified by something I'd never heard of. I'm just like, I don't know. It just it really struck me as almost fishy. Like,
yeah,
I don't there's really a lot think of that. That is real. But maybe it is. I don't know. But that always kind of skeeves me out. Unless they literally, like, sometimes you'll see they'll actually have a picture of the person signing the item, you know, alongside the item. Like, we have friends who have a treasure trove, if you will, of signed movie posters. And most of them, they actually have photos of the person signing because it's like at a signing event, kind of like your friend does, where you know for that. But all they did was sign a stack of posters and sell them to a memorabilia shop or whatever. But
yeah, yeah. I kind of have here's the thing. I'm a collector, so I can't say anything. And I have purchased autographs. Absolutely, I have three different Walt Disney autographs that I've collected over the years. There's one reputable dealer for those, and that's Phil Sears. You go to his website, you may be like, this website looks not great, but he's been doing it forever. If Disney is selling a Walt Disney autograph, they will go through Phil to get it certified. So if you're looking for a Walt Disney autograph, now you have to sign up to his email list because they go really fast. And I've only bought like the cheapest of cheap end. Usually some of the ones he puts on there are like $20,000. But some go for cheaper, especially if they're not as like – I have weird ones. I have one where he didn't sign it Walt Disney. He signed it Don Pedro Disney. I have which I just loved. I was like, that's great. And it's like him and like on a horse. But it's very faint, so it's very hard to see. I've been trying to figure out how to restore it, but I don't really know how to do that without ruining it. So I don't have that one displayed. It, yeah. Yeah, I have one my favorite one is one from the Royal Hawaiian Hotel. Like, a guy had an autograph book and he got him and Lillian both signed it. And it's probably my favorite one. It's like dated, timed. Like, it's very authentic. It's very clear. But again, a lot of people want, like, they want him signing a cell or signing a picture of Mickey Mouse. And I like the weird ones. I got the one I just picked up a few months back is a menu to his private plane where he ordered the fried chicken. And it is my favorite one because it's just so random and so bizarre because he signed it, you know, Walt Disney. And it's him essentially just selecting what he'd like for dinner. And I'm that's where I'm sort of a weirdo, and I like these sort of – and I like they have all these like really nice options like filet mignon, whatever, and he picks the fried chicken. And it made me kind of – I felt connected with him.
How do you know? Did he circle it or something?
Yeah, he has a check mark next to it.
Oh, there's a check mark next to it.
I'll send you a picture.
I don't even so much want an autograph of Walt Disney as I would – I want something that that was his that like he actually touched or used, you know, like a pen or a cigarette lighter or something. And I know that's stupid because it's just an inanimate object, but I do sometimes I get that I trip on that whole idea of there's something, you know, his maybe some of his and not just him, anyone that I really admire, like maybe something of their energy transferred into this or you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I get really into that stuff.
I got no problem. One of our family friends wrote a book called Sacred Spaces, and it's kind of a similar concept, which is almost if an important event happened in a space that there is some sort of energy and a mark that's kind of left upon mm-hmm. it. And it's an interesting take. I'm not sure I'm all in on it, but I could see that having sort of a similar idea of what you're talking about, something that's owned by them, something that's different. But you do, and to get back to the autograph thing, you do have to be careful with a lot of those because I've typically now gone away from buying autographs unless they are someone like through my friend Lance who works for Dick Van Dyke. I've been there where Dick has signed 300 things. If you're buying something from Lance, I will guarantee you it is signed by the people he's seen it by. He usually will provide you a picture of your item. Like I have a very weird, I have a very cool Rocky Horror Broadway poster. It's signed by Tim Curry, and it's not that many of them in existence. And I have a picture of him signing it. Like, I know that's mine. And so there are some really great people in it, but you do have to be careful, especially those at like a con where their booths are set up. And they are a little off. Like, that Walt Disney one didn't look kind of like his autograph. His autograph was pretty darn close to the same every time, especially in his later years. Like, the early years, it's different, but the later years, it's all very kind of the circles and very whimsical.
Sure.
So I don't know, but I've tried to now kind of start avoiding the autograph collecting unless I was there or
right
or like I have a very, very reputable source. And also autographs are sadly going away because people want selfies.
Right. Exactly. But it would be an autograph. There's someone flying a drone over my parking lot. It would be so much more meaningful, too, if like you actually if I got the autograph. That's why I don't really get into buying them. It only means something to me if like the person signed it for me, even if they don't put my name on it. Like when Bert Kreischer signed my copy of his book. Now, he's not a huge celebrity to most people, but it's personalized to me. You know what I mean? That's a big deal to me. Like I have a signed Kevin Smith comic book and it's cool, but it's like he literally had a stack of them and he signed them and you could buy them on his website. So
right. Yeah. Right. I have a bunch of stuff signed by Kevin because I feel like when you just ordered stuff from his website, most of it came signed.
He just signed it. Yeah.
Right. When it came with that, but no, I agree with you completely. And the only reason I did the Tim Curry one is he doesn't sign publicly. He'll take pictures, but he doesn't. Mm-hmm. I think just due to his current medical state and how he's doing, he takes time. So he takes time going through everything. That he doesn't sign in public. So that was like the only option to get something signed by Tim Curry. Now, understood. That being said, right. I'm going this weekend to Wizard World and Stan Lee is going to be there. And I've had a really beat out of shape, like really rough copy of Fantastic Four number one. And it's like my prized possession in comic collecting. And I got it for a big birthday. I think I got it for my 30th birthday or 25th birthday. I like bought it for myself. And I've had multiple opportunities, including even through Lance, where I could send it in to get it signed. But I don't. I just wanted to and I know, like, gosh, I mean, he's in his 90s. Like, it made me nervous that, like, I'd run out of time. But thankfully, presuming that, especially with the weather and everything, that this weekend happens, that to me was something that I would like to be there to see him get signed. I'd like to meet him.
Right.
And not just
totally
send it off somewhere and it comes back with a blue Sharpie, scribbled on it. I would like to have that because it's an important thing and it's an important person in my life as well. It's someone who's definitely greatly influenced pretty much everything that any of us do in pop culture. It's someone that I kind of say, like, if my 4-year-old son, who's almost five now, knows who this person is, it's pretty crazy because he has a book about Stanley. And those are people that I feel like, when you do have the opportunity, go out there and do it, meet them, spend time with them. Say hello. Tell them how much that you appreciate their work because clearly they wouldn't be doing these. I mean, he doesn't have to do it for the money. He's out there for the fact that he clearly just loves talking to people, loves to be out there still. And I look at this list of people that are at Wizard World this weekend, and I don't know if there's many others we'll meet. I know we're meeting one wrestler for my son, but other than that, it's pretty much just going to be experience. Now, I have a question for you about Wizard World. This is kind of more funny. I was looking at the exhibitors that are going to be there. Did any B-level – I mean, gosh, some of them are B-level celebrities that are signing. But did any celebrities have booths at your Comic-Con that were not officially sanctioned?
Yes. There was one guy specifically. He was in George Romero's Land of the Dead, which came out about probably 10 or 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was kind of the icon of the movie. What the heck was his name? His name was Big Daddy or something like that. A very tall African-American gentleman. And he was one of the zombies in Land of the Dead, which starred who was in that? The guy, I think it was the blonde guy that was one of the Howling Commandos in Captain America, and John Leguizamo were in it. But now I got to look it up because, he had his own. He literally, you could tell, he just paid. He got a booth right in the exhibit hall, and he was there selling masks of his character and signing
autographs. It wasn't advertised anywhere.
Right. It wasn't advertised in any way. He had a little TV showing his clips from his scenes set up. But it's kind of sad because he was literally wearing his costume. He wore a janitor's jumpsuit or whatever in the movie. So he was wearing that. But no, he didn't have zombie makeup on it. And I mean, no one was talking to him. I actually felt kind of bad. He was sitting there with his legs crossed on his phone the whole time, every time I passed him. So, that was the one I saw for sure.
We speaking of in costume, I met Ernie Hudson and he wore the Ghostbuster jumpsuit, but he had a line. He had people there to see him. And I'm sure he realized if he wore the Ghostbuster jumpsuit, he'd sell a lot more photos. Because a lot of people I was no doubt, I'm buying this. I'm going to get my photo with him in his Ghostbuster jumpsuit. But we have Hacksaw Jim Duggan, professional wrestler, has a booth, which I feel he's marketably on the same stature of a lot of the people coming to our Comic-Con. So I'm interested to see, but I just saw him in the booth listings, the exhibitors. Hacksaw will be there signing 2x4s. So it was.
I used to have Hacksaw's autograph. My dad met him in an airport in Milwaukee, and he signed a little piece of paper. It said Hacksaw Jim Ho.
Well, depending on the price point, I'll try to recreate that experience for you. I do hope he signs 2x4s. If he does, I may buy one.
Yeah, that would be cool. Okay, the guy from Land of the Dead's name was Eugene Clark, and he did play Big Daddy. So if you look him up, you'll be like, oh, I remember that because I think he was on the posters and stuff. And it wasn't the guy from Captain America. It was Simon Baker, who was he had a TV show where he was a fake psychic or something like that, helping the police. And he was in The Devil Wears Prada.
Of course. Classic. I saw that theatrically.
I love that. I did too. I love that movie.
It was a great, movie.
That movie came out the same summer as Superman Returns. What was the one that
Superman Returns. Saw that at midnight.
And I said, and I was like, I remember writing on MySpace that it was shocking to me that The Devil Wears Prada was my favorite movie of the summer, not Superman or something like that. So
I like that movie more than a lot of people do. But I remember sitting there at the midnight screening being like, all right, it's 2:30 in the morning. This has gone too far. Yeah. This is too much. All right, here's who I got at Wizard World. You tell me who, if there's anybody you feel obviously Stan Lee, number one. I'm meeting Stan Lee. The guy who was K2 in the last Star Wars movie canceled. I'm kind of bummed about that. Lonnie Anderson canceled. A lot of the guys from, Fireflight canceled. We got Stan Lee. This is who should I pay to get an autograph from? You got Val Kilmer. That one's, I'm pretty tempted. Tempted to get a tombstone or something because he's not doing well health-wise.
I didn't think he did a lot of these things. In fact, I didn't know he did these things at all. So that would be, See, if I had a Batman Forever poster, I would absolutely go see Val.
And he also has original paintings that he sells of Batman, of Iceman, of Doc Holliday. Was he Doc Holliday?
Really?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, he was Doc Holliday.
Yeah, he was Doc Holliday. I just had a moment of maybe I'm wrong at this. And of his sort of Batman, of his iconic characters.
What about Chris? Was it Chris Taylor from Real Genius?
I didn't see that as one of his paintings. I saw mainly a lot of Iceman and a lot of Batman, and then a little bit of Tombstone. But I don't know. Like, I feel like that one, if his booth isn't long, I may be like, you know what? And that may be when I get something signed and not a photo. Because I don't really know if I – like a photo op with Stan Lee, sure. A photo op with Val Kilmer, like that's cool. But I kind of know – I kind of want a piece of memorabilia maybe from him. I'm not sure. You got Nichelle Nichols, who played Uhura in the original Star Trek series. I'm a Star Trek fan, but I'm more of a next generation
guy. Much respect, but meh.
You got Summer Glau, who was in Firefly, but she also was for me, she was the main Terminator in Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oh, is that who she was? She was here too, but I didn't even know who she was. So
yeah, I mean, I love that series, but like, I'm probably not going to do it. And then it gets down to like a random like cosplayer. Then I'm like, okay, no, thank you. Another guy from Firefly, Roman Reigns, who's from WWE. He'll be someone that with my son we're definitely meeting. Bailey, who's a WWE superstar, we've met her before. Now we do have Jason.
Before, I knew that.
Yeah, we have Jason Mewes and Brian O'Harlan. So we have Jason Mewes, obviously Jay from Jay and Silent Bob, and Dante from Clerks.
Yeah.
Tempted. I've met Jason before. His dog sat on my lap in this rent when I went to a podcast taping. He's very nice. Him, his mom sat next to me. But I have something signed from him before. I've met him. Not sure. Dante. I mean, I love Clerks. You know I love Clerks. I love Clerks, too. Don't know. Don't know if I am going to drop the coin.
Yeah. I would do it to meet Mewes. Brian, sorry, buddy.
Yeah. If it was like three of them, or if it was Dante and Randall, I'm like, okay, I'll get that photo op. But just
you'll never get Randall.
Never. He's never.
Speaking of celebrities.
He lives like in the woods doing nothing.
Yeah. He don't even want to do Clerks 3. He said, no, thank you.
Yeah. So. I wish he would release the script. Or like somehow do some sort of like I'd like to know the story that they wanted to tell.
I think he's just holding out hope that he'll eventually change his mind, but yeah, I don't know.
Because I really enjoyed Clerks too. I thought it was a great follow up and really told the next part of that story. But I did
for the most part. I don't know. I don't want to say something mean, but speaking of Brian James O'Halloran, I understand that. He was the right person for the role when they made the first movie for $27,000, but...
I know where you're going. I know where you're going.
Rosario Dawson, really? And I couldn't believe it. I'm sorry.
You couldn't believe it, yeah. I mean, it's, couldn't to suspend me, that's, disbelief. It's Randall's movie. I mean, it's...
And it should have just been Randall's movie.
Yeah. I'll maybe... And Randall and Elias. Both of them, great. Yeah. Stole the show.
Yeah.
And they're the reason I'd like to see the third one. But yeah, I understand what you mean.
Dante should have been like second fiddle to Ray. If Randall was hooking up with Rosario Dawson, I'd almost believe that more. Tall, blonde, Nordic looking fella.
Funny.
But funny, charming. I just really struggled with, I don't know. And, whatever. I don't want to say anything mean. Go ahead. Anyway.
I'm sure he listens. It's fine. Park, who is.
Listen. In the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game with Brian James O'Halloran, I'm not very far separated. So I do have to be a little bit careful. I know people directly who know him directly. So you never know.
Speaking of those people, they're not appearing here, which I'm kind of bummed out about. But Ray Park, who was Darth Maul, you know, kind of if he was in the costume, I may consider it. A couple people I don't even know. Dean Cain, which I know was there with you. You got,
man, he's the only one that has a pre-made sign that says no photos or videotaping in this area and cash only in big letter. It's kind of like, I don't know. I understand they all probably feel the same way, but to put it on a wax like that was kind of distasteful. I don't know.
And I'm sort of like the Dante to that. I got a lot of people who work directly with him often. I've heard pretty good things. I'll just leave it at that. I've heard like, yeah, he can be a little bit of a wild man. Especially when he's like making Christian movies and he's like, you know, they're like, but don't give him a live microphone. So that's for Dean Cain. Allie and AJ, who are back. Yay. I only really know of AJ now because she's in the Goldbergs, which is one of my favorite shows. She's Lainey, the main female role's best friend. She's great. But again, like, I don't know why. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to drop the coin for any of these people. Thomas Ian Nicholas, sorry, buddy. You were Walt Disney in a movie. that sued my Walt Disney movie.
So in another movie.
No, thank you. I'm sure you had nothing to do with that, but you know, there's some revenge there, which is their movie had to be released through our same distributor, and they spent $1 million plus.
I totally forgot about that movie. You know, that might have changed him. I might have gone up and talked to him. No, I mean, no offense, Logan, but I'm just to ask
him. Oh, I got no problem with him. I'm sure good for him.
I would have just asked about his research. I would like to hear what he did to prepare, but if anything.
I didn't watch
the movie. What's more mystifying is Napoleon Dynamite playing Roy.
Right. And he was at the last Wizard World, and now I wish I had like gotten a poster like signed for him just for my own amusement from both of them. And then like I wanted the guy who's a friend of mine who played Roy in our movie to like go get a picture with him. We could have had like a moment. The guy who played Walt is now like has a TBS series and is a much bigger deal. So I don't think I could get him to do that. Let's see who else. Sam Jones, Flash Gordon.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Kind of. Kevin Conroy, who plays Batman.
Didn't he make a resurgence from being in Ted? Wasn't he in Ted? Yeah. Somebody told me. Kinda. I didn't see it.
Yeah. He's in Ted. He's great in Ted. But like, okay. Then you got the voice of Batman and the voice of Robin, I believe, from Batman the Animated Series. Okay.
Yeah.
Love the show.
Again, I love the show. I love Kevin Conroy, but I just not enough to go stand in line.
Right. And then, I mean, thankfully, a lot of these guys, you don't have to stand in line. And then the last one on here, which I don't believe should be last, is Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, he was at ours too.
That's tempting.
I feel like, really? Because I feel like, now don't beat me up, Lou, but I kind of feel like anybody who wants a Lou Ferrigno autograph has probably gotten it by now.
Agreed.
I don't know.
It's sort of one of those situations where, I mean, I liked the Hulk. And then there's a laundry list of people that I've never heard of. And then at the very bottom is also featuring Jim Duggan. Don't even say that, but I know he's going to be there. And some great artists. I'm sure there, you know, a lot of our friends who are artists, Tom Bancroft. If you're going to be out there, Tom Bancroft, who's a Disney artist, if you want an awesome original Disney signed piece for probably a reasonable price, he created a lot of these iconic characters. He lives in here in town. And great guy. And if you're a Disney collector, he actually – I don't want to plug someone else's Patreon because, Barton, no, you got one. I got one. He has a pretty cool thing. His brother – and he do a podcast, if you're into animation, called the Bancroft Brothers Podcast, or Animation Podcast. And it's really good. If that's a career you want to go, I'd say it's more for that. If that's something you want to potentially do as your job, it's a great resource for that. But their Patreon, they have one that's like it's their highest tier, which is expensive. It's like $100 a month. But you get every month, I believe, an original piece of art from them of like a character of your choosing. It's like, that's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal if you're a Disney collector. And he's done some for me. He did some of the art for the movie I made. He did a Jack the Clown for me last year for Horror Nights.
I remember that. Sure.
Pretty cool. So you can go see Tom. Go see Tom and Guy Gilchrist, who's on your podcast.
I was just going to ask. You said guys. Yeah. Speaking of Guy.
Guy will be there. Yeah. And you can find Guy. And he draws Nancy, the comic strip Nancy. But he also did the Ninja Turtles. And more importantly, probably for us, did the Muppets. And it's pretty good. Hey, did you hear the new Kermit the Frog?
I did.
What do you initial thoughts?
I think I just answered you. You know what it is? Here's what I thought about it. It might actually be good. It's just that now I'm so used to Steve Whitmire.
Right.
That I've almost forgotten. Because I saw people posting, sounds more like Jim, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, maybe I've just forgotten what Jim sounded like because I'm so used to Whitmire now. Because it struck me as odd. By the end of it, I was like, okay, I kind of hear it. But I don't know. Yeah. Give it time. It'll grow.
I kind of feel the same. I mean, they did that with Mickey Mouse and they had to change it up. And I mean, if you're going to go back and say, we're going to make Walt's Mickey Mouse. Yeah, it's very similar, but it's not that similar.
No, right.
But I'd still say it's closer than what this Kermit was. I mean, I think the guy did a good job. It does sound a little bit like an impersonator. And I think you're right, because pretty much our entire lives, obviously Jim Henson was – through the original movies. But I don't know. I mean, part of me feels like you're right. I'm just so used to that other voice that it almost feels like an impersonator. Like it feels like I hired him on Fiverr to do a Kermit the Frog voice, but it's going to grow on me. The guy is an amazing talent and I love him in all his other roles. I'm sure he's going to do a great job, but there is that sort of like comfort level that's not quite there yet that we'll get to. But yeah, I don't know. I know this show's been a tangent, but I'm sorry.
That's what it's about. And I really don't care for the guy that's doing Mickey, speaking of Mickey Mouse, in those new shorts, which is what the new ride is going to be based on.
Yeah.
I think
is it the guy that does it for like the Clubhouse show, or is it a different guy?
Well, Well, see, to me, the clubhouse started with Wayne Allwine.
Yeah.
Did he pass away?
He passed away, yeah.
That's what I thought. And I think he was probably the best. Yeah. Because he did the highest pitched Mickey voice, but you could still understand what he was saying. And it sounded like a real voice. It was cleaned up. It didn't sound like somebody doing a high voice. Just like, you know what? And this might be sacrilege, but I often wonder, like, when are they going to clean up Donald's voice and make him understandable? I mean, at some point.
I don't know how I feel about that, brother.
Really?
Stepping on some toes there.
How long? I mean, it's 100 years. Can we give him a voice now? I don't know. Okay, fine. Can Vin Diesel? I don't know. Somebody?
Hey, I went to a 100-year-old theme park. They haven't cleaned that thing up yet. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, I can't believe I'm going to say this, Logan. Speaking of all over the place, but I got to go. It's already been almost an hour. You and I've been yapping. Show.
It was kind of I don't know if it was the most funny show we've ever done. I will actually say no, it was not. But I feel like it was probably our most like NPR show. Like it was. Yeah,
well, there you go.
It was calming.
It's loaded with information.
Right.
We
do
a
weather report
more.
At the beginning. All right, man. We'll get back to work. Enjoy your day. Hey, come down here for Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett, New Year's Eve, Bridgestone Arena, baby. Huey Lewis.
I told you, like, if we don't have a tournament that week, because for some reason our hockey club always schedules tournaments the week after Christmas that end on the 31st. But if they don't,
I'll see
if I can move heck and high water to get there. That would be awesome.
It'd be a blast. I did it because I was at Bridgestone last year for Widespread Panic did New Year's. And God, it was a blast. Different crowd. Similar, probably state of mind.
I don't enjoy as much seeing Jimmy indoors, but for New Year's Eve, I mean,
I feel the same.
Quite the event. That would be quite the event.
And with Huey Lewis, just adding on.
And with Huey Lewis. Oh, my gosh.
That just sounds like the best night ever.
It sounds like the best New Year's Eve ever, for sure. And I've had some good ones, but that's pretty awesome.
I mean, I don't know. Your Aruba stories are feel a little bit better than hanging out in the Bridgestone Arena.
Those will always be legend for me. But yeah, next to that, take that out of the equation because that'll probably were moments in time that will never be repeated. This is pretty awesome.
Well, you never know when the show hits it big. We get we buy an island off Aruba and we're just chilling.
We'll recreate
those
bars.
We'll have
a pier,
bar, karaoke. It'd be great. All right, man. Get back to work. I'm going to do the same. I got to go do WDW today after this. My voice is going to be going. So enjoy the rest of your week.
All right, folks.
Tyler will be back.
More importantly. Oh, yeah. We got to get Tyler back. Give him a hard time for sleeping.
Oh, yeah. In the contest. We need to say that. One more week for the Star-Lord mask contest. Join our Facebook group. It's a blast. BLT Lunch Break. You can find a link on our Facebook page or just type in BLT Lunch Break. You'll see the logo in black and white. That's our group. Request to join. I usually get back to you in seconds. People kind of freak out at how quickly I can confirm, but it buzzes on my phone when someone asks to join. And it's a lot of fun. There's a ton of NFL Pick'em League going on in there right now. Stuff that's way beyond us happening. So join that. But that's where you can also post and tweet us at BLT Lunch Break your entry, your talent show entry. We're taking you back to middle school here. This is your talent show, and you have till next Thursday to get it in. We got a couple entries so far. So it's not out. You get the $100 collector's edition awesome replica Star-Lord mask from Guardians of the Galaxy in time for Halloween. There you go. That was my promo. I feel accomplished.
That's pretty good. And let me defend you, Logan, to the people on Twitter. It's only been less than 4 minutes since I said I had to go, and you wrapped it up. I'm proud of you.
It's good. I don't have Tyler or anyone else to. I'm tired. I'm just tired. All right. I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah, that's true. You need to get some sleep. So, all right. Well, folks, Logan's going to do another podcast and then pass out. I'm going to go back to work. But more importantly, as always, we hope you enjoyed your lunch. Goodbye, gang.